when you get into like the stupidity of what societal norms are, that's where your needs start to shift.
It's almost like a yin yang sign.
I hadn't experienced as much at 5 years old as I had by the time I was 16.
A lot of the negative traits that I would associate with me would be in my inner teenager. I do respect the fact that he really didn't care.
It wasn't until 30 where I started spiraling.
Me now is more so the voice of reason.
I'm the adult that my younger self needed.
Like, what's happening now is in response to the past. But I'm crashing, smashing, bashing.
I'll be wanting to cry.
It's okay to feel sad sometimes.
get on my motherfucking face.
Please.
Push the goddamn button.
Action.
I was on the interwebs. I was watching a video initially. Shout out to Duran, Bernard, and I feel like Deontay. Kyle, I think this is from Grits and Eggs podcast. Mm-hmm. I was watching a clip. They was talking about inner child work and everything, doing that work. And I was perusing through the comment section. Somebody was like, my inner child is never the problem. My inner teenager, though, that one is, that's where a lot of my problem comes from. And then I was thinking, have you guys ever thought about or spoken to your inner teenager? Do you see a difference? Or have you ever thought about it? Have you ever noticed the difference between like your inner child versus the inner teenager?
I ain't think about inner child versus inner teenager till the other day when you had brought it up when I wasn't supposed to be listening. But I agree. People only talk about the inner child, but forget the inner teenager. Like, we go from child to adult like immediately. But for me, I look at it as I'm the parent, or I'm the adult, or I'm the chaperone that my child, my younger self needed. So the things that my inner child wanted to do or didn't get a chance to do, I'm allowing my inner child to express that or to experience that. Same with my inner teenager now after thinking about it. After the other day when I wasn't supposed to be listening. Mm-hmm. Now my inner teenager is able to have a say-so. Right now I'm a young adult. So my young adult is it's just like the big brother for my inner child and inner teenager. And my young adult is setting up systems and everything. So while the kids are at play, we could set up an amazing, beautiful, easy life for old man Breeze.
Old man Breeze.
Yes, Lord, Lord. Look here, youngster.
For me, no. My answer is no. I hadn't, before you brought this topic up and before I saw that video, I didn't think about my inner teenager. Because I had never heard anyone talk about the inner teenager. Like Breeze was saying, we act like we go from child straight to adult. And I know we reminisce a lot about being a child, like with no responsibilities and stuff like that. So we just kind of skip over the teenage years. But those were very like impactful years for me. So I thought about it in passing, but I didn't think about it in the way of what do they need or what did they need. I did not think about that until you brought up this video.
That's interesting. I was going to say, so do you guys feel like your inner child was different than your? I mean, I didn't think about it beforehand, there's nothing for me. But I was going to say, do you feel like there's a difference between how your inner child operates versus your inner teenager? Because I think there's a big difference for me, but I just was curious if you guys felt like...
I think so. I think it's a difference as well, just because as you grow, you need different things or you want different things. Your interests change. You're interested in different things. So I feel like the needs of the inner child are different from the needs of the inner teenager.
I do think that... I think at the core, they kind of want or need the same thing. But your inner teenager, like when I was a teenager, my responses were different because my experience, I had experienced a lot more. So when you think about going back to your childhood, your inner child, I hadn't experienced as much at 5 years old as I had by the time I was 16 or even 13. Like between those years, a lot happened, even whether it was subconscious stuff or stuff that like I consciously noticed. a lot more happened. My perspective wound up changing. My, like, my body changed, you know, like hormonally, and the way that my mind was thinking changed. So I think at the core, though, the need kind of remained the same. Like, for me, I realized, like, I needed some level of safety, but what safety looked like shifted. What type of protection I felt like I needed, it changed. What type of love I felt like I needed at 5 versus 16 was totally different. So thinking about it in that way, I think at the core, yes, but also no, it evolved.
That's really interesting. I would say for me, I think there definitely is a difference. I think, and when the more I thought about it, I was just noticing that my younger child, how I imagine it is almost like a yin yang sign for me. So like my inner child, right, he was a lot more quiet, he was a lot more curious, he was always to himself, right? And I felt like he also had an issue speaking up for himself. Mm-hmm. So like, or just going to engaging in certain conversations. Right, I'm a child, obviously don't always have the words, but you know, you see some kids when they're 5, they ready to be Disney Child stars. You know what I'm saying? They out the womb singing.
They was trained.
Molded. But yeah, so for me, when I was my younger child was a lot more quiet, reserved. In my mind, I think of, like, you know, when they talk about kids, it's like the core essence, the purity. He hasn't been tainted, but I think the one, if there was a negative trait that I would, and I wouldn't even say negative, but a trait that he didn't possess as much was being able to speak up for himself. My inner teenager, he was cocky. He was competitive as I don't know what. He had no problem speaking up for himself, and he had no problem saying he didn't really care about what other people felt in regards to what he was saying. But I appreciate both of them now. So that's why I said it's almost like a yin yang sign. So where a lot of the negative traits that I would associate with me would be in my inner teenager, I do respect the fact that he really didn't care. And it's like for my younger child, he cared, but it was like he was curious, but he just had a very hard time speaking up. So I didn't know if you guys had, like, could you attribute some of the traits? Can you tell the difference now that we're talking about it, between the traits of, like, your inner child versus your inner teenager?
I feel like my inner child and my inner teenager, like Shakoy was saying, the same exact person at the core. It's just different interests. Yeah, just different interests. You learn stuff, you're exposed to more things as you grow and explore life. So I was the same, as quiet as I was as a child, I was that quiet as a teenager. I just now speak when I feel like speaking to who I feel like speaking to. Like, yeah, it wasn't until, like, recent years that I just choose to start a conversation. I always had something to say, I just didn't always say it. Mm. Now, if I have something to say, I still might not say nothing, but I'm not afraid to speak, or I don't really hesitate to speak if I have something to say, if I want to say something.
So that didn't even come until you became an adult.
Mm-hmm. Young adult.
Young adolescent adult. It's like, nah.
I was about to say, yep.
Okay. So the question was, do you notice, like, the difference of the traits? Like, can you attribute specific things? I think that I was a lot more bubbly as a child. And as a teenager, I was a lot more angry. Like, I would say I experienced a range of emotions more so than when I was a child. What were you about to say?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. I started, like, suppressing my emotions. So, like, I had just, like, I went from being a bubbly child to now experiencing these, I guess, the darker emotions, like sadness and anger and stuff like that, but not knowing what to do with it. So I feel like I was a little bit more angry. I like how you said the teenage you didn't care. I didn't get that. Mm-hmm. I didn't experience that. I think I cared too much my whole life. So. Like, I just now started learning how to not care about stuff, and sometimes it's still difficult for me. And I was always outspoken. For the most part, there were a lot of things that, okay, I was always opinionated. Yeah, I think I was always outspoken for the most part. But Yeah, I think the main thing was I was super bubbly as a child. I know you don't think I'm bubbly now.
Yeah.
I think I balanced out some. And then as a teenager, I had a lot more anger and stuff like that that I felt.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely was a... I had more anger when I was in my teenage years. I also think that my inner teenager was a direct response to how my inner child was. So, like, my inner child had, like I said, my inner child had an issue speaking up for himself. My inner teenager was like, nah, we're not doing that no more. A lot of the traits ended up being a complete 180. Or it would be like, because when I was a child, it felt like I wasn't really competing with anybody with nothing. I was just doing stuff that I like to do. And then once I got to a teenager, it was like, nah, we're competing. Nah, I gotta be the best. What am I doing this for? And it's like a lot of those traits, which aren't, I won't say bad, but a lot of those traits that if you don't check them, they can get out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
It was, those kind of took over. But for me, it felt like it was a direct response to like who I was
as a child.
As I was thinking about it, I just felt like there was a big difference. But you guys said you guys don't see a difference in the thing that you needed. Cause I feel like for me, my inner teenager is the one that needs a lot more of the validation. He wants to be the best in certain things. My inner child don't care about nothing. He's just trying to create.
I think that there are differences. I think that the difference is more nuanced than anything. I think at the core, I still needed the same thing because I guess I didn't really get it the first time.
Try this again.
Yeah, like, it's like my inner child still didn't get it.
Yeah.
So growing up and becoming a teenager, I still needed it as a teenager. It just looked different. It evolved. So like how I said, the type of protection or safety that I felt like I needed. When I was a child, it's just like, okay, maybe I just need a little bit more attention from my parents or whatever. They mm-hmm. paid me a lot of attention, but still.
Mm-hmm.
But then as I became a teenager and experienced more, it might have been a thing like, I need someone to actually talk to now. Like, I need someone to help me process these types of emotions because I don't know. I was a bubbly child. I don't know what that means. I also don't know I'm outspoken, but I didn't, like, I need someone to stand up for me. Like, when I feel like I'm too afraid to speak type of thing. Or I don't want to speak. Because sometimes, you don't always want to be the one to say something. Sometimes you want somebody else to say something. But, so yeah. Or in those people-pleasing moments, which I didn't know until I became a young adult.
Mm-hmm. Not an old adult.
Adolescent
adult. But I didn't know that back then. So if someone would have helped me to be like, hey, it's unhealthy for you to feel like you have to be there, like you're obligated to be there for everybody and everything in your life in this way. Like you can take time for yourself. Like the thing changed, but overarching, it was a certain type of support, protection, safety type of thing. You know, because I didn't necessarily get it as a child. So now it's like it needs to be more evolved, but I need more of that thing that I still didn't get.
In my head, I'm thinking of it like a balanced meal. You were skipping on the vegetables when you was younger and all you was having was the chicken tenders.
I had the chicken tenders.
The broccoli.
And the fries.
Yeah, I had the chicken tenders and the fries.
Chicken tenders and the fries. And you like
milkshake.
And then you got the teenager and you're like, I don't know why. I don't know why I just can't. I feel like I need some greens, but why would I want a green? Why do I keep imagining greens?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like I just.
Greens and water.
But yeah, pretty much it's like, I don't know why I'm craving this balanced meal. I don't even know what a balanced meal is, but I still didn't get it. So now it's like, well, where's the salad? How do you put a salad together? You know, that type of thing. So yeah. I still need a meal. I would like to still have the chicken tenders and the fries, but if you could add a little some greens, give me some complex carbs, I don't even eat chicken no more.
Yeah. Well, you got your protein, that's how you get your protein, get your complex carbs, get your healthy fats, here we go, you're getting yourself somewhere.
But I didn't start learning that until I became an adolescent adult.
I don't really think you're able to be the person that you need to be until you get out of the environment that created or that your younger self was molded in, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, like you were saying, I didn't even know about, I'm going to speak for myself, I didn't know about a complex carb. I heard about healthy fats. But, like,
I didn't really know what they
are. Yeah, I don't really know what it is.
You know, I was saying, I ain't hear nothing about healthy fat. The only fats that I was hearing was the fat that came on the end of oxtails. Yeah. nobody want that. Well, some people want it, but most people ain't want that. Keep that out there.
That's why I ain't eat oxtails.
The fat at the end of the chicken, I ain't hear nothing. Healthy fats, what you mean? That's just the fats that was cooked nice, with this that wasn't deep fried. That wasn't, I'm talking about some healthy fat, my bad.
That's the fat that's still in the gravy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you don't really know what you don't know until you know what you don't know.
Yeah, so I didn't know necessarily. Yeah, I guess it's, I didn't really know what I needed. I know now, looking back, I'm like, okay, inner child, all right, you didn't feel safe. Oh, teenager.
Still didn't feel
you
safe.
You ain't feel safe either.
But not in the same way.
Right, so now it's like, okay, so me communicating with both of those versions. Because I'm gonna backtrack for a second. Because you said that you feel like your inner teenager was a direct response to how you were as a child. Mm-hmm. In some ways, I think yes, because I was very, I was a very nice child. I wasn't naive, but I think that there were a lot of things that I didn't express because I was nice and I was happy and stuff. So I'm looking at the bright side of things, but the teenage me saw a lot of the dark side of things and acknowledged that. And I mean, I was also very judgmental. So I didn't have any tact either. I found that out in college. So I was just telling people, you know, what I thought.
Yeah.
And it wasn't always kind and it wasn't always necessary. Just because you got something to say don't mean you need to say it. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, I hope the mic caught that. You want me to say it again? Just for the people in the back?
You go for it.
Just because you got something to say don't mean you need to say it.
Well.
But yeah, so.
I was just going to say, I feel like me as an adult is a direct response to me as a child.
Do tell.
My inner child and inner teenager, I feel like me thinking about it, probably the exact same person. Just one is taller. Taller with more hair. That's it. But like me as an adult, I think a lot differently. I mean, my frontal lobe is
fully developed.
I think a lot differently. I am in a lot more control over myself and how I respond than I was as a child.
Mm.
So when I was little, I used to cry all the time. I used to just have to get it out real quick and I'm good.
That's another thing.
Yeah, but I used to cry. I was nice. I just wanted to play all day. I was good at what I did, but I ain't have no direction. Because I wasn't doing what I actually wanted to do. Like, the stuff that I was doing, I actually wanted to do it, but the goal for this thing wasn't what I wanted to do. It was what society say you should do if you play basketball. If you play basketball, you're supposed to want to go to the league.
Mm-hmm.
I did not want to go to the league initially. I just wanted to play in the celebrity game at All-Star Weekend. That's it. So now I'm going to get just famous enough so I can play in the All-Star game. That's it.
Okay.
Like, that's check off my basketball list. I made it. Either that or a 10-day contract. Or, a celebrity game and a 10-day contract. I'll be 10-day contract. That's just for me. Like, that's for the adult me. Just to say I did it. But yeah, just like stuff like that. So me now, like how I used to rap all the time, but people were like, oh, you should rap. I don't want to be a rapper. Deep down inside, I'm like, I actually enjoy doing this. But me being quiet and standoffish, shy, whatever, that doesn't fit the mold of like a stereotypical rapper.
At the time.
But now, line them up.
Line what up?
anybody who want to rap. Yeah. Anybody who want to rap with me, you can line them up. And I'm just checking them off verse by verse. Yeah, I'm a lot more confident in my abilities and what I actually want to do. And you can't tell me that I'm wrong because I see you and it's all in your demonstration. You don't know what you're doing. I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. We all just here to have a good time. Mm-hmm. So while I'm here, I'm going to do that.
Man, yeah, I think now is more so the voice of reason for my inner child and my inner teenager, because my inner child is like, listen, I just world peace, right? I'm just here, I'm chilling. I just want to just chill, create whatever I want to create and everything good. And it's like, I don't even really want to have to go there. My inner teenager is like, anytime if he feels...
World domination.
Yeah, but no, for real. It's not even world domination, but that's funny. But yeah, my inner teenager is like, nah, like we... Like, I got a point to prove. I have to be the best. And it's like, now we competing at the highest level because otherwise I'm not doing it. And I'm going to say whatever I need to say. And then the adult me is like, all right, I need you to be able to speak up for a younger child. Yo, I appreciate that. You don't got to go as far as you was about to go with that. Because you was about to take that way too far. So it's like, just seeing that for me, I'm like, oh, wow, okay. I didn't notice that. I didn't notice the traits were inverted for real. So it's like, my younger self was a lot more curious. My older self, he was curious, but he was like, you want me to do what? Depending on what it was, it might have been my musical taste initially. Like, I'm like, I'm not listening to that. Why would I listen to that? That's weird.
And it's Bach? Like, you want me to listen to Bach? Right? Play the piano.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, nah, that's not cool. Like, we not, that's not cool. But having a good blend, that's why I said it for me, it feels like the whole yin-yang sign, where it's like, all right, well, although my teenager side probably has more what would be considered more negative traits, there's still good in there. It's not like it's all bad. In the same way with my younger child, it's not all good, because there's times where you need to be able to speak up for yourself. But if you're too afraid to do that, mm-hmm. because you're like, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, I don't want to blah, 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 then you're not going to be able to do it. And like, I feel like me now has to be the middleman and be like, hey, yo, you going to get what you need. You going to go out there and play. We're going to compete. And right now, it's like, we're going to do it in a healthy way now. We're not going to do that how we were doing it before.
We're going to therapy
now. You know what I'm saying? we're going to have a balanced meal on this plate. You're going to get some chicken tenders. You're going to get your protein that's battered like some chicken tenders. But you're going to get your greens. Come on, stop playing with me. Complex carbs, healthy fats.
I can't tell if you are like a old man with no teeth, or if you Jamaican when you said that.
I don't know either. It just kind of came out.
Lord have mercy. The more y'all talk, the more I'm like seeing, oh, maybe I am like a direct response. Mm-hmm. Like what's happening now is in response to the past. Because I'm like, when you said you used to cry a lot when you were little. I used to cry a lot when I was little, but then teenager me stopped.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was gonna say the same thing.
I stopped too.
My teenage,
like 14.
My teenage stuff, like, for what? What you crying for? What? That ain't even, you don't man up. And like, that's the but again, the toxic traits or the more negative traits from my teenage self would be like, nah, we're not doing that. Then me being an adult is like, you know what? It's okay to feel sad sometimes. You feel it's like, all right, I get it. I understand now. Like, but you just having that balance. We went. I'm sorry.
No, but yeah, that. Mm-hmm. I used to cry. I stopped crying because when we were little, they used to call me a crybaby. So I stopped crying. But I didn't realize it wasn't just that I stopped crying. I also stopped allowing myself to like really express the
spectrum.
Yeah, the full spectrum of my emotions. So like I was limiting myself to this box of emotions that people say is appropriate to express. So that's where I would stay. Mm-hmm. And now I'm in this space where I'm like, well, if you need to cry, you're just gonna have to cry. Even if you're at work, if you need to let these tears out. Let these tears out. And If you need to laugh at something, go ahead and laugh as loud as you want to laugh. If you're hyper, just let yourself be hyper, because you're not gonna calm down until you get this out. Mm-hmm. So, and I appreciate y'all for, you know, letting me be randomly hyper. Yeah. So I'm realizing now that it's a response. Mm-hmm. I didn't look at it like that.
Most times when I'll be wanting to cry sometimes, but it just be like, what's the point? And then I'll be wanting to break stuff, but I'll be like, it's not worth it. And then when I think of myself crying, like the image of me crying, I laugh. So that negates mm-hmm. any type of tear that's about to come out. So that's why it happens in my sleep if I'm gonna cry.
I started writing this song 2 days ago. And this is why I said I'm not about to crash out no more. Because in the song, I was like, I just want to... I said, I'm these lyrics aren't going to sound that great just talking them. But I don't know. I said, I'm crashing, smashing, bashing.
That's good writing.
But I said, I don't want to break my own shit. So I'm just going to sit here. Because, like, I really wanted to punch something. I wanted to throw something. But I'm like, this is all my stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, if I break something, it's, like, that's mine. I have to pay for this. Yep. So, I'm going to just sit here and...
just bask.
just sit here and figure it out. Because I'm like... Then I was like, you know what? The younger me, both the inner child and the inner teenager... wanted and needed a punching bag, so I'm gonna get one of those.
I was just thinking about when I be running, that'd be helping me feel better, like emotionally. Mm-hmm. And remember, I told y'all it wasn't until 30 where I started spiraling, and I think it's a direct correlation to how much sports I played from age 3 until 23. And then I think I was still on a young adult high. From 23, like from once I graduated, from 23 to 29, I was on a young adult high. And then once I hit 30, I ain't been moving like I used to. I ain't been working out. Mm-hmm. I ain't been running, playing sports. I ain't been competing. Besides, I wasn't even doing All Right Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even competing with the fit. That's healthy competition. Mm-hmm. You can't rap better than me. You can't sing better than me. I don't even sing. Come on. They were like, hey, yo, you trying to hoop? Oh, yeah, where y'all at? Send me the Addy. Word. Say less. We damn. Getting the shoes. Like, I'm... We damn. Mm-hmm. Then I just started being old and grumpy. They told, I was like, how is it at 30? I was like, hey, world. How was it at 30? It was like, your back gonna be hurting, your knees gonna be hurting. They lied. My back never felt better. My knees never felt better. It just be what you eat. Honestly, it just be what you eat. And make sure you stretch. I wasn't stretching. Once I started stretching and eating healthy, got my micro daily, mm-hmm. eat my greens, complex carbs. Mm-hmm. Zinc water tonight.
I'm gonna get some. A little bit. Just a little bit. Not gonna overdo it. Get you some Saratoga. But before we did the 10-day reset, when I was first putting those together, I had told Kayla Ray that I don't even know if she actually did it. I never checked back in. But I was like we used to be moving a lot. I think we constantly used to regulate our nervous systems because we used to, like, she used to be dancing. I played sports.
Oh yeah,
and
you
danced.
dancing, boom, 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 dance machine.
But we constantly were regulating our nervous system because we were playing sports. She was dancing. You were dancing and playing sports.
Dancing
I met you. You were dancing nonstop.
Yeah, I was dancing nonstop. If I wasn't playing sports, I was dancing everywhere.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until Shorty broke my headphones when we was in the sophomore year. I was so upset. I ain't even buy no new headphones after that. I was just walking around here just listening to nature and life and regular stuff. I wasn't selecting a soundtrack to nothing. I was just listening to birds. And I mean, it's cool. I'm grateful or whatever. But sometimes it's nice to have, you know, a soundtrack that you pre-selected because you know you're about to go on this run. I don't always want to run to squirrels biting on acorns every day. That's just me. But yeah.
But now you bought some new headphones.
I did.
And now you can.
Dance. Yeah, but I really think that is a huge part of why we do keep having these moments where it's like, oh, I'm about to, like, I just want to break something, like I'm about to crash out. Like,
I was also going to say I spent so much time outside, mm-hmm. so now it's like majority of my day I'm inside, and I'll be going, the old me was going crazy, pre 10-day reset me. Mm-hmm. Going crazy, like, just because I spend so much time indoors, and it's like, in order to do my job, I have to be inside. Sometimes I walk outside. I be needing breath of fresh air, but my job is inside. In order to do my job, I gotta be inside. The other day, I was thinking, I might have told y'all this, but I kept saying, I want a work from home job. Kayla Ray was like, I mean, but you love people. Seems like you do a lot better when you're not working from home. So you get to see people, you're meeting people, talking to people. And then I'm in my room painting, I think. And it just hit me like, this is the best work from home job that I could even ask for. Me being able to paint, make my me creating in my own space because I could do it. Actually, it wasn't when I was painting. I went to the jewelry shop that I was supposed to be shadowing. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get in because they was in market. So it was mad different shows and stuff going on. So, mind you, I already paid for parking. At this point, this particular day, I parked by Centennial Park, right? So I walked in my car. I was like, you know, I'm going to just walk to the park. So I'm over there. I'm sitting out there. Something that I was procrastinating for weeks got done in 10 minutes. So I'm just outside on FaceTime with my mother. What up, Mom? FaceTime with my mother, just doing my thing, having conversation, got it done. And it's just like, this is the type of work that I'm supposed to be doing. Work for myself. Work that fulfills me. I was so happy. Rest of my day, beautiful. I think I went ahead and wrote a verse and read a book. I ain't finished the book, but I wrote a verse. I think that was the day I started writing again. It was good. But I say that to say, when you a child and go back to regulating your nervous system, being outside is extremely important. Getting the right amount of sunlight, vitamin D.
Oh my
D. gosh. I ain't never, nobody ever told me about low vitamin D until I was an adult. I spent like majority of my childhood outside. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So like.
Me too.
Yeah. I definitely agree. And I think it's important to have the spaces for you to do a lot of the things that your younger self would be doing. And I think a big thing about, at least for me, I'll say, my inner teenager, he was able, even though he had some of the more extreme traits, he found ways to express those, whether it was through sports, whether it was through music. So, like, if I was pissed off, I can go play basketball and really get it out. And it's like, all right, and then I'm gonna compete in that way. And then all of the stuff that would be deemed negative, it's like I'm funneling it into a way that's more positive, and it's like I'm getting more out of it. My nervous system is regulated, whatever. And it's like that we had a lot of he had tools for expressing some stuff that my younger child didn't. So like my younger child's like, I can't do everything. I'm a child, right? But now it's like I'm a teenager. Nah, I'm gonna do what I want to do. Yeah, I'm grown. And it's like then I get to grown, and I'm like I wasn't. Frontal lobe was still still not where it needed to be. Yeah, real. Still smooth right there. You know what I'm saying? So, I think as you get to an adult, it's like making sure that you give both versions, both of them, what they need. And I think for me, knowing the difference between the two helps me know what each one needs. So, like my need to compete. My younger child didn't have that need, but my younger teenager had that need extremely. So it's like I have to find ways to satisfy that need, and sometimes I have to do it in odd ways. And then on the other side, like the curious, the younger curious me and my younger child, I have to find ways to give him that need. And it's like, all right, how do I do that? And it's like, oh snap, okay. And it's like, now I'm literally the parent to both of my younger selves. It's just interesting to me as I started thinking about it.
So my inner child actually had the love for competition. And I think that's why I was so aggressive in soccer field, because that was my way of getting any negative emotions out. So I didn't have to, I guess, feel them or whatever, because I processed them out. Like, if I got any frustration or aggression, it was already out. Like, it was already on the soccer field. But then when I got to high school, I stopped playing soccer. I didn't care about competing in track.
I didn't. Can't even hit nobody.
Yeah, I can't hit you. So, like, yeah, I didn't really care. At track, I just did so I could make... I was at a new school. I'm like, this is how I'll make friends. I don't want to be pissed off on the soccer team because I heard they wasn't that good. So let me, I'll just run track. Like,
yeah. I was also going to say, I was similar too. I also think that a big part of it for me, a big part of it that helps me differentiate the two is because I moved. So when I was in elementary, I was in New York, and then when I went to middle school, I was in Jersey, and then seeing how I operated differently. It could be because it was a change of scenario. People didn't know me. I don't know. But seeing those two people, and I think it also had something to do with the friends that I had as well. So like the friends that I had brought out a different version of me. And I think a lot of it helped me be able to speak up for myself. Cause like, these are all my friends. I'm not really thinking about, like, nobody's more of an authority. Mm-hmm. An authority here than anybody else, but when you're younger, it feels like anybody that's taller than you.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, this is
they're an adult. Yeah,
they're an adult. They know what they're doing. It's like once I got to the teenager, I'm like, nah, I'm not doing that. That sounds dumb. And it's like, wow. I was like, hold on, that you probably shouldn't say that to that person. That's not. You know what I'm saying? But again, learning the tech, and it's like being able to just to see the differentiation. So like, I guess for you guys, I was going to ask, hold on, question.
Tell me what you think about it.
Wow, that's crazy how quickly that thing goes.
One thing I was going to say, it was about the competition thing.
Yeah.
I never had the need for competition because I feel like I was always in competition.
Okay. Like, in terms of like your family or...
Like, I was always playing sports and I was always... trying to be better mm-hmm. at something, because my sisters was getting good grades. I ain't have bad grades, but I ain't have good grades. Well, I had decent grades. I was passing. Like, they was just high achievers. Mm-hmm. I just want to go play outside. I mean, I feel like that's how we... It's a word that I'm looking for. But that's like the cultural norm. It shouldn't be normal. I feel like young men should be high achievers as well. But men get a pass for not... Boys get a pass for not being high achievers. And girls have to achieve. That's what it seems like.
Because it's a man's world.
But it wouldn't be nothing.
Yeah, that's why. But no, for real, though. I definitely... I think for guys, you can kind of...
Like you can skate through life.
Yeah, because you're a guy.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Powerful man.
Yeah, I feel
as
like...
As long as I can play the sports... I could talk loud. I wasn't a loud man, talker, but I could play the sports.
As long as you can fix something and pick something up and put it down, you can get through pretty much a big portion of life. I think on the flip side, it's like I think the high achieving is just so that they can feel... This is just me taking a guess step here, but it's just like they have to achieve more just for them to fit, for men to look at them on the same playing field is what I would say.
Okay, let me break it down for y'all.
Nova said, that's right.
preach up.
So, in this society, the societal norms, mm-hmm. when you look at how things go in the world of stuff, right? Okay, a lot of times what happens is the hierarchy of who gets, or privilege, we'll say. Yes. So sometimes it'd be like white male privilege, black male privilege, white woman privilege, black woman privilege. And then sometimes it's white male privilege, white woman privilege, black male privilege, black woman privilege. But the consistent thing that you just saw was that black women, we don't have as many privileges and as many spaces as any of those.
Yeah, you guys get places. you guys get hit twice because you're a woman and
So if you think about it like that, a lot of times we do have to show up high achieving in a lot more spaces. We have to deal with a lot more. So like even when they talk about black women being the most disrespected person in America, that's very much true. It's a lot of things that y'all can get by and skate with that we can't necessarily, we won't get a pass on. Even though if you look at numbers for like the highest, the people with the group of people who have the most degrees are black women. You know, like we are the highest achieving a group. I said a group. The highest achieving group of people within this country, but we're not treated as that way. That's especially if you even look at how the election went with Kamala Harris. She really lost because she's a black woman. And in a lot of spaces, we're still seen as being less than or seen as not good enough, despite being overly qualified in most of the spaces that we're in. Like, majority, if you see a black woman there, 9 times out of 10, she is overqualified. Like, she should be getting paid more. She should have a higher position. She might not should even be there at all, but she is. So I think that that's kind of something that gets embedded in us at a young age. But also, a lot of us, we like to learn. We like to learn. We like to better ourselves. Getting a degree is a pastime for so many of us. I be thinking about going back to school sometimes. But then I be like, ooh, homework. Lot. But I like to get certifications. Like, if I really wanted to, last year, I probably would have been certified in so many more things. But I chose not to. So it's just, I think it's something that is not always acknowledged. But we are just a high achieving group of people. I will say that because, you know, black women are amazing. But it's also a thing where in a lot of spaces, we still don't get the respect that we deserve. So we do have to work 10, 15, 20 times harder a lot of times than our male counterparts or even white female counterparts just because we're black women.
I'm not going to be canceled. I have nothing negative.
I was just explaining it to y'all. Cause like,
appreciate that.
Even when I say like my inner child and my inner teenager needed a different type of protection, it's the experiences that you go through, even when it's an experience of recognizing that, oh, even like when I got my first job, and I mean, you had this experience too, but in my interview, they were like, we're only giving you this job because you're sister. And it's like, well, dang, like, was my interview that bad? But like those experiences, you start to, like, they take a toll on you. But when you also go into different spaces and you start realizing that maybe people aren't listening to you as much because you're a black woman, or they, like when I always talk about, you'll say the exact same thing that I said in the exact same words, and then they'll listen to him, but they won't listen to what I said. And they'll be like, oh, you should have said that. And it's like, well, I just gave him the soundbite to repeat, basically. So when I talk about the type of protection that was needed for my inner child versus my inner teenager, that's what I mean. The experiences are different. So maybe I still needed some level of safety and protection, but what it looked like is different. Even what it looked like as being a baby adult was different. And even looking at it now as an adolescent adult, it's a little bit different, you know? Because I'm still growing. But that's a part of my experience. And that's something that as black men, you guys might understand like an inkling of it, or you might witness some of it, but you don't go through the same experience. So y'all being able to skate through on certain stuff is like cool. But when it's when y'all get to skate and I gotta put in this extra work, I need y'all to speak up for me.
I feel like we only get to skate to a certain extent. This is a different conversation for a different pod.
Yeah, but we here.
We get to skate to a certain extent. So it's like we skate to a fault. So now we get to a point where it ain't no more skating. Like you an adult now. It ain't no more skating. But we don't know what we don't know how to do anything but skate. So like
I also feel like my bad, you have more to say?
You go ahead.
I was gonna say, I also feel like the plight is different. So I feel like society gives women a pass to express everything because it's like, we know it's trash. You can, at the very least, you can express whatever emotion you're allowed to express. As a guy, it's like, yeah, you can only express three, you got three colors to paint with. You better make this work. And it's like you got anger, frustration, and calmness. And if you can't express it in these, I don't know what you're doing. But it's like, when the only mode of you expressing your emotions ends up being through anger, frustration, and calm, it's like a lot of that, I feel like that's what you end up getting. It's like people, like, they haven't gotten a chance to express that. So I think, and this is, again, not to compare, but I just think the only, like, the difference, I think, would be for, at least for black men, I would say, is, like, we're not, the emotional aspect, we're not expected to express that portion. So, like, they'll give you guys that. Everything else, we get to pass on. Like, we'll be like, all right, we can skate through everything else. But emotions, we don't really want to see you express. But that's what they were saying, like, what the whole, the Icklus. Like, I don't want to see you. I don't want to see you upset. I don't want to see you about to cry. That's not manly. It's like that thing. But again, you guys have a totally different vibe. I was just saying it just in regards to, yeah, I have a totally different fight. There's just some things that, the only things that we really get a pass on are things that are related to, like, being a male, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but I even think, even just that is, like, it doesn't make sense to me. Because emotions are a part of a human experience. And it's not just what dependent on what gender you are or identify as.
Are we really looked at as humans?
I mean, initially they didn't look at us like humans. It was about, what, one-fifth?
So now it makes sense.
Yeah, one-fifth the person.
Yeah. I guess, I didn't think about it like that. But even so, y'all are told not to express y'all emotions, and we're told that we're too emotional.
Yeah.
Like,
very different.
it's a weird thing. It's just weird. So even still, when you look at it from a perspective of your inner child may not even know about that type of stuff, but as you, the more you start to get exposed to what people are telling you, you should and should not show up as or express or be or do, or you should be doing more of this and let, like, when you get into, like, the stupidity of what societal norms are, that's when you start to, like, looking back, it's like that's where you start to need different things. Your needs start to shift. Your reaction to the world and your mindset when it comes to the world is shifting. Even though maybe your frontal lobe isn't fully developed, those experiences are making an impression on you.
I was just going to say, that's one reason why I be saying this is the best time to actually be alive, because we see and we know that we have choices.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't have, like, I was just thinking when you was talking about how stupid societal norms are, but the generations before us, shout out to the generations before us, but they instilled these rules and regulations and norms, social norms and stuff, like, this is what you do, this is how you act, this, you're a man, you don't cry, suck it up, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But now it's a thing of, I know this isn't the right way. Or this is not the right way for me. So I know that I have the agency to live my life how I see fit.
But I think it's also a thing of the fact that we now are able to recognize what things became societal norms because of, out of protection, out of safety. Like, it wasn't necessarily safe for black men to be expressing their emotions or to be crying in public or any of that stuff before. It wasn't necessarily safe for, like, being high achieving, like Black women in general, we had to do more so that we could be, we had to be recognized. We were the last people to be able to vote in this country. And we, like, the Deltas were marching with the white women for voters' rights in 1913. Or was it 1914? Anyways, we was marching with them white women. Mm-hmm. And they were able to vote after that. And we still couldn't vote. Did they come out and march for us? Hell no. Mm-hmm. So it's a great time to be alive because the things that
our ancestors did,
but the things that they needed to protect them, we don't necessarily still need those things to protect us. Yeah. We have a little bit of, you know, freedom to be like, okay, well, I do want to cry right now, so I'm just go ahead and cry, and I don't care. We'll see.
And I mean,
still probably won't cry.
But. Yeah.
Probably won't, but I can though.
Yeah. It's okay to feel sad sometimes. but yeah, I also think that, I mean, it's only natural that, like, the child is always going to find fault in the parents. Once they get to a certain age. So it's like, after a while, you're going to find, because you have the gift of hindsight that your parents don't have. So mm-hmm. your parents are only working with what they've been working with.
Right.
And eventually you get to the space where it's like, you know what? I would have preferred that. Mm-hmm. I wish you would have done X, Y, and Z. But again, you only know that in hindsight. And so you have to give even your parents grace or even the previous generations grace because they did the best they could with the tools they had.
Right.
Yeah, they worked hard so I don't have to.
Yeah, exactly.
They worked hard on the stuff that they didn't want to do so I don't have to work hard on the things that I don't want to do. I can just focus my energy and my time and my efforts and my good energy and love on the things that I want to do. And, you know, live life and be free. You hear me?
And even have this conversation about your inner child and your inner teenager, because who had time for that before?
Yeah, that's definitely. A lot of it wasn't even, I'm not thinking about what my inner child wants. I'm thinking about how I'm going to survive.
How I'm going to feed my real child.
Yeah, that's what it said, my real child.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
So it's just, but I think all of this is super helpful. And I mean, now that we know, because now we've given the tools, I know for me, I'm doing my best to give my inner child and my inner teenager and my current self the things that they actually need.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, I may be upset and my inner child, like, I want to break something. And then I'm like, all right, you want to break something? All right, I can't swing you breaking something in your room right now.
Right.
Because, like, the only thing that's in here is stuff that you need. But we can go to this rage room or we can go ahead and punch this punching bag. And it's like, oh, and then my teenager is like, oh, we boxing? Yeah, we are. And it's like just literally just set, like understanding like, oh, these little urges, these desires that you have, like it's okay to satisfy them. And
I mean,
it makes you more healthy to be able to know, have a way to actually satisfy them so that you're not acting like, I think the problem is when you end up doing your, like expressing your inner child desires in a adult body in a way that's not helpful.
Yeah.
Like, you just going around breaking stuff in your 30s just because you upset. That's not how you operate. And this is a place of business. We're not doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So just understanding that and being able to give them what they need in a healthy way. I think that's the main thing that I'm working on right now.
I was going to say, too, that's why for your birthday, I took you to the rage room. I was like, y'all don't get as many chances to just express yourselves, especially like the anger. It's not too many safe spaces for Black men to express their anger. So since there's a rage room here, like, let's go and see what that's like. And I don't know, just some fun to do, like turn it into a fun experience, but still get whatever aggression out that might be lingering. Mm-hmm. But do y'all have any final thoughts on the inner teenager versus the inner child? Oh, wait, I have a final question. In a battle, who you think gonna win? Your inner child versus your inner teenager. Go.
They're the same person.
Ooh. Cop out.
They don't want you to be heard. When you tell the truth, they say you lie.
Well, whose voice is louder, do you feel like?
Initially, I would want to say my inner child, simply because I didn't even acknowledge my inner teenager. But now certain things make a lot more sense. So I feel like both voices are loud. Both voices are loud, so it makes it even more important for me to act on my hunches or act on the things as soon as possible. So nurture the urges as soon as possible, even if it's just like acknowledging that this is what I want to do or looking into doing certain things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about you?
You said my inner child versus my inner teenager. Now, my inner teenager is going to be like, what are we talking about here? I compete for a living. But
which one do you think is louder?
In terms of the voice, mm-hmm. I at this point, I don't think it's one is louder than the other. I just think they're speaking in different frequencies. Like, it's like different radio stations.
Oh.
So it's like, sometimes I'm like, it's clear as day, this is my inner child. He's like, he not in the mood to deal with none of this. He's like, why are y'all arguing? This is dumb. Can we not? And then if I turn it down just ever so slightly, I'm like, nah, let's go. We here. I'm with all the smoke. And it's like, it's just, you know, it just depends on which one I'm dialing into at the moment. But I think it just depends on the day. So some days my inner teenager is louder, some days my inner child is louder.
Mm. Okay, so for me, I think my inner teenager has been louder lately because it has been the least tended to.
That's good stuff.
So
no TLC.
Yeah, because I didn't think of it as inner child versus inner teenager. I was just like inner child. But that always takes me back to like little me. So I was skipping over kind of little me, mm-hmm. you know? Or younger me, I would say. Yeah.
And I also feel sorry to cut you off. I also feel like the teenager is like, there's stuff that happened to you as a teenager that you're just like, I'm not. Like, emotionally, maybe you didn't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
And it's like, we just be like, all right, we're just going to not talk about him. We're going to talk about her. We're going to just talk about Lil when you was a baby. That's when the world didn't taint you. When you wasn't molded by the rest of the world, you was perfect here. And it's like, well, I mean, this person still needed some love, too. And that's the reason why that's the reason why you like this.
This person doesn't matter less because they went through more. Like, they have other experiences now. So, like, you know, just got to deal with the things that may or may not have happened and also tend to both. So, any final thoughts? All right.
Yeah, I'm saying just give your inner child and inner teenager some love. Show you some love. That's right. Show you some love.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us for another episode of the Gray Area Podcast.
Gray Girl.
Yes.
I'm Shikoye D.
Badman Breezington here.
It's your boy, Damani.
And thank you for joining us for another episode. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Tell a friend. Hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload.
Ding.
Also, if you want to watch this podcast live and early, join our Patreon. The link is in the description, along with Till Shiloh.
Bin Pandalon Leroy. You gotta give him some time to warm that up. You gotta just get the engine running. Turn it up at the end.
And just like water.
Just like water.
So, I ain't released no new song yet, but it's on the way. But go stream their music. Clicking the links in the description, streaming the music, watching the podcast, subscribing, all of the things. Those are things that help us to be able to create more and more things to bring to you guys. So, thank you for being here with us. We appreciate you, the good people of the Gray Area. Comment below your thoughts on this podcast. And if you like this episode, you are going to love the one that's linked up on the screen. Bye!
Adios!
Stay blessed. Stay black people.
Yeah. Get that airy fairy shit about it, man. I need you to say that shit plainly. Say it plain!
You say what?
And know yourself. Know your worth. Jukebox, hit me with another J.
Get on my face. Get on my motherfucking face.
Please.
Push the goddamn.